All right, I'd like to say welcome to everyone. This is April 8th, 2020. This is the Enriching Gifts Education Call. We have our host on the call this evening, Ron Schneider. He's going to educate us and enlighten us on how the body works, how the immune system works, and just a lot of great information that can benefit all of us and those that we know. So, Ron, I just want to bring you out and say welcome to the call. Super excited. We've had several great conversations since last week's call, and I'm just really looking forward to what you have to share with us this evening. So, Ron, welcome to the call.
All right. Thank you, and welcome to everyone on the call. My goal, I guess, has kind of changed focus over the last month. Really important to update everybody and make sure that everybody's aware of the facts, not the media hysteria and all this other stuff. And kind of hit a milestone this week because New York, Florida, everybody's starting to report less cases, in case you're not watching national television. But the one thing that's really come up this week that I'm just still puzzled and shaking my head at, even the disinformation that everybody is getting on national television. And that's this whole thing about antibodies. You know, Dr. Fauci, he keeps saying, well, it's not a proven science. We just want to make sure that it works on this virus. And you know, there's not this or that. Well, let me just share with you about antibody therapy. Antibody therapy has been going on way past even HIV and AIDS, which was in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And this is a proven therapy. I don't know why they keep saying that it's experimental. It's not experimental at all. It's very effective. In fact, it's the most effective treatment for any disease, bacteria, virus, fungus, any disease known to mankind. It'll work.
All right, I believe we lost Ron here. Am I still live with everyone?
Yeah, we're here. I'm here. It's over.
Okay.
So not sure what happened there, but I just got cut off. Anyway, so this thing about antibodies is it's been known to cure everything and anything underneath of the sun, and it's been known to do that
Carolyn
for about over the last 50 years. Are we still live, Dover?
We are still live, Ron, and just not sure what was going on there. We had a little bit of a hiccup, but we're live. The recording's going, and you're live.
All right. So just wanted to welcome everybody to the call again, and I do want to update everybody about the latest on the coronavirus or COVID-19. And one thing I want to get everybody on the same page and start giving you the facts, because you're not getting it from national television. That's the one thing I started to say earlier. You are not getting the facts from national television. Dr. Fauci came on the news tonight, and they were talking very specifically about the new plasma antibody therapy. And he's saying that, well, it's not mainstream yet. We've been approved for FDA to start some clinical trials, and that's nonsense. It might not be FDA approved for this virus, but this therapy has been proven for well over 45 years, at least the last 30 years. Because we were doing this in South Africa and over in Nigeria and over in Uganda back when I was traveling all over the continent of Africa back in the mid to early 90s. And that is the one therapy that has cured everybody that's ever been at risk of dying from a viral organism, whether it's HIV, whether it's Ebola, whether it's H1N1, whether it's Spanish flu, H1N5, SARS. That was the therapy that started saving all those people's lives before they had vaccinations and things like that. So to say it's not effective, I don't know where national television and all these experts are getting their information from. Because that's simply not true. It's been proven effective, and it's extremely safe. You don't get the proteins from the bloodstream. What you get is the antibodies and plasma, which is the fluid portion of blood. That's all you get. So it's extremely safe. You can literally take it from anybody's blood that's been exposed to the coronavirus, developed the antibodies because they had a strong functioning and efficient immune system. And you can literally strain those antibody proteins out and inject them in anybody without a risk of reaction or rejection. So I don't get what national television is feeding everybody today, because this is literally the only therapy that's been proven in all of this. Even vaccines like that, that long word, I can't think of it right now. But anyways, the malaria vaccination, that's experimental for this type of a treatment because it's never been done before. But antibodies have been used for the last 30, 40 years. That is an extremely effective treatment. And so they want to talk about the African-American community and how highly exposed they are to this COVID-19 because of genetics and underlying health factors. Well, I don't get why they're not just getting all of the – by the way, let me bring it current on the latest statistics. We've now passed over 400,000 people that have been infected, actually documented as infected, with coronavirus in the United States alone, just past 400,000. And we just passed a little over 10,600 deaths. So if you figure this out, this has about a 4% mortality rate, which is extremely high. But with that being said, it's extremely high. Let's put this all in perspective. We've only got 400,000 cases in the United States, and there's over 22 million people that are affected with influenza every single year. That's diagnosed and treated cases. And like I said before, on average, there's about 36,000 deaths every year from influenza. But if you go back the last 10 years, it's actually 48,921 if you took a 10-year average on an annual basis. So 48,000 actually die from the disease, not 10,000, 48,000. So we're literally 80% less even with where we're at today. And it'll go up. It's a very deadly disease. And they say, well, it might reach 60,000. No, it won't. It won't. Not if you're figuring a seasonal basis, annual to annual, year to year. They'll probably just lump it all through multiple years and multiple months, trying to make the number appear much larger than it is. But that's not the way you keep track of influenza statistics or viral infection statistics. You have a death rate that isn't calculated for up to 25 years because it's generational. So, but the thing I want to tell everybody about is don't be so afraid of this thing because there are very effective treatments. In fact, I had someone call me the other day about their daughter was really having strong breathing problems, headaches, the typical coronavirus flu symptoms. I said, well, don't panic. I said, I would take her to emergency, get her checked out, and if she does have it, ask him for the antibody therapy, because that's becoming mainstream now, and just about anybody has access to that. They even started asking for blood donations today from all the people that have actually been positively diagnosed and actually healed themselves from the coronavirus itself. They started asking for blood donations from all those people that have fully recovered. And that's the biggest thing I want to tell to everybody. Out of those 400,000+ people that have actually gotten contracted the virus, there's only 10,000 deaths. There's over 338,000 people that are fully recovered from that. We're at over 87% full recovery. So, again, I'm saying this is nothing to get freaked out about. And I'll just be honest, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. This has nothing to do with coronavirus. All this isolating and shutting down, that's all politics, and it goes into the United Nations and all kinds of stuff, but I'm not going to go there. So, but I do want to deliver the facts on what your options are if you happen to know of somebody or if you're unfortunate enough to get this coronavirus itself. It's not all gloom and doom like TV wants you to think. So that's the first thing. Those are statistical facts. We just crossed 400,000. We just crossed a little over 10,400 people that have actually died from this now as of the date. And that this goes back to at least the last 4 months, 6 months, not just the last 2 months. Because this goes back into last November and December as well. So that was the first thing I wanted to update everybody about. And then I want to talk a little bit about antibody therapy. because your immune system, because like I said earlier, and I'm going to start really pushing this, and people aren't going to be able to stand up to me and tell me I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, because I absolutely do. And people don't die from disease. They die from compromised immune system functioning and efficiency. That's what really allows your body to even develop a disease. You're genetically predisposed to this stuff, but if your immune system is functioning properly and it's unimpeded, meaning there's nothing interrupting it or disrupting its ability to function, diabetes can be reversed. It's even preventable through immune system functioning. It's preventable mostly through the diet. But once you actually have that breakdown of tissue and things like that, as long as you have a clean bloodstream, your body's genetically designed to reproduce itself cellularly every single moment you're alive from birth to death. That's your genetic coding. Nothing's going to inhibit that process unless you actually have something that destroys the cells that reproduce themselves from that beginning cell. So even the immune system can reverse and prevent almost every single disease known to mankind. In fact, the only thing that heals your body or cures your body from any disease and illness is your body's ability to, one, reproduce itself cellularly. That's very important because that's called healing. But two, preventing that disease from becoming a part of your life in the first place. Bacteria, mold, fungus, pathogens, anaerobic organisms, all of that stuff is destroyed by the immune system cell functioning. It's either destroyed by the T lymphocyte itself or a neutrophil or a eosinophil or a basophil. In that case, it's all engulfed and dissolved enzymatically. Or your body makes like cytokine proteins and antibodies. And that actually will destroy the rest of it. That covers 100% of all illness and disease, just in those two statements. So that's the one thing that I want everybody to remember. Your body already has the natural ability to protect itself and alleviate this disease and illness if you do get it, as long as it's strong and functioning properly. And most importantly, if it is strong, if it is genetically gifted, if it is functioning properly, do not allow it to be compromised by floating immune complex proteins. They're called FICs. And that's a medical term. These are different substances that would get into and enter the bloodstream in the body's organs and tissues that would actually clog up or disrupt the functioning process of the cell. It actually, your daily meat flesh meal, your muscle tissue meat flesh, that gets in the bloodstream extremely sticky and cloggy, clogs up all your red blood cells, inhibiting oxygen uptake. It also thickens your blood, putting pressure against the heart. And it also is very sticky mucusy, so when your immune system goes to try to dissolve it, to get rid of it from the bloodstream, it actually clogs up the receptors. So now the immune system becomes inefficient and ineffective. And you can literally slow down the activity of the human T lymphocyte, and this is the cell that actually dissolves and destroys infected human cells. It'll literally dissolve the whole cell, but only a T lymphocyte can do that. And so what happens is as your T lymphocytes try to interact in the bloodstream just like everything else, they're trying to get to these foreign proteins and get rid of them, and it just clogs them up. And you can slow down the human T lymphocyte activity and functioning by as much as 1,325% less active. Well, you might as well just be saying a prayer over a coffin at that point, because there is no functioning or efficiency or anything going on. And that's done just from a poorly digested muscle tissue meat flesh meal. And by the time the average person hits 38 to 42 years old, you keep hearing me saying this every week, every month, every year, and I'm going to keep saying it. Because this is the fundamental underlying problem of everybody's disease and illness issues. It's not poor genetics. I got great poor genetics. Lots of them. And I don't have disease issues. I don't have illness issues. I never get sick. And the reason for that is because you have enzymes. You have to start supplementing with enzymes. And I'm not talking about part-time. You take these every single meal just before you consume your meal. Because the minute you don't have enough enzymes to digest the food source you're consuming, especially this meat flesh diet everybody's living on, this keto diet and this fad high-protein diet just to lose some weight, that stuff is killing you in the long term. That stuff will render your immune system dead, totally ineffective, totally inactive. And the only reason it does it is because your body has lost its ability to produce the same amount of enzymes at 30 and 40 as you did at age 12, 15, and 20. And for every single 10 years you live your life, your body produces 8 to 10% less digestive enzymes. So at some point, you're going to become very, very polluted with toxins from your dietary meals. That's inevitable. But that's all preventable. That's all reversible. And you're only going to do it, your chances of reversing this stuff are very, very good under the age of 45, 50 years old. The minute you start getting above 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, or every 5 years you go, your chances of recovering and fully reversing stuff diminishes. And you try to do this in your 60s and 70s, and your parents died in their middle 60s, early 70s, well, who do you think you are? You're nothing more than a set of two parents genetically. So you're right at death door as well. So you haven't got the metabolic enzymatic activity to recover and heal yourself with. It's just not going to work. That's why people in their 70s and 80s, when they fall down, they break their hip. They usually die from a broken complications to a, from a broken hip, not from some disease or illness, because their body just doesn't have the ability to reproduce itself cellularly to heal. So you have some kind of staph or bacteria or some other issue that becomes a problem because of that injury and the inflammation that occurs in the body whenever an injury occurs. So those are just a couple things I wanted to talk a little bit about tonight. But everybody's immune system, regardless of how strong or how weak, everybody's immune system can produce antibodies. And there was one thing that came up in the phone call with a medical group here just a couple days ago I did. And one of the things was, how does an immune system become compromised? Well, again, the biggest compromising factor to anybody's immune system is your meat, flesh, muscle tissue meal diet every day. And that becomes more of a compromising factor every single day you live over the age of 35. Regardless of your genetics, if you compromise your immune system enough, you will get a disease or illness, and you will die from that condition. But again, no disease has ever killed anybody. You got a disease because you've got a compromised immune system. That's why anybody gets a disease or illness. Because if you really think about it, and somebody put it in a great context, and it was a doctor on national television, he said, you know, from the days of caveman, what's allowed the human race to succeed and exist all the way to present day is the human immune system. And he was more of a cancer doctor and infectious disease specialist, what he was. But I'm an immunoenzymologist, and I've known this for 30 years. That's why I've chosen to focus specifically on immune system cell functioning, because that is your key to health. Look at all the antibody therapy that's so successful now, not with just Ebola, with Nurse Phan, the Vietnamese nurse that was hospitalized. Everybody saw her progression into almost death fall on national television. The New York nurse that came back from Sierra Leone that was quarantined. The white doctor that actually came back that was hospitalized, and he actually recovered on his own, and he developed antibodies, and those antibodies were given to Nurse Phan and the New York nurse, and they were all cured within 3 days. 3 days is all it took. And you watched them just slowly deteriorate for weeks on national television. So, again, I just don't understand what is the big... I do know, because it's money. You know, it's just not that profitable. One, you have people donating the blood, and then you give the blood. Well, blood's not that expensive, if unless you're really getting a hospital that's raking you over the coals. Because there's just a refrigeration process, and then there's an administration. Just cost a couple of dollars to extract it from a person, but that's the active ingredient. Otherwise, you got a little bit of packaging. So that's why you're not seeing much of this being used to save all these people's lives, because there's just not enough money in it to profit not only hospitals or the pharmaceutical drug companies, which have no stake in it whatsoever. This isn't a pharmaceutical drug. This is a patient to another patient administration. So there's some doctors and nurses involved, but there is no pharmaceutical anything involved. So that's why you're not hearing much about this antibody therapy in hospitals are being used. And then you see, I want to call him a goofball at this point. I mean, I'm losing respect for him every day I see him, that Dr. Fauci on national television. Oh, this is experimental. This hasn't been proven yet. Yes, it has. It's been proven time and time again for 20, 30 years. So that's what I wanted to talk about with the antibody therapy, because you're not going to hear the actual truth, the news, or even really how this whole thing works on national television. I can see that already. It's coming. But that is the most effective therapy there is, not only for coronavirus, but it's been there for Ebola, Spanish flu, H1N5, SARS, on and on and on and on, HIV, AIDS. It's been very effective for every single time it's been administered and used. And like I said, I'm going back at least 40 years. So I already updated you about the facts of influenza every year. So I think that's probably about really all the photo I want to go tonight. What's up? Somebody have a question?
No.
Okay. So, but that's what I wanted to just make sure that everybody didn't get all caught up in this hysteria stuff that's starting to show out on TV. And like I said, this really has nothing to do with coronaviruses, because the numbers just don't justify the reaction or the amount of money that's being spent on the congressional and political levels. This is all about a whole bunch of other stuff. But trust me, folks, like I said, the facts, the numbers just don't justify the actions at all. We're not even 20% of what we deal with every single year. And we have been for well over the last 30, 40 years. So just rest assured, it does have a higher mortality rate, but there's a lot less cases than what we deal with every year normally. And now they went from, and then by the way, these modeling that they're always referring to, 2 weeks ago, it was inevitable. We're going to have at least 100,000 and it's possible 200,000 deaths right here in America before the end of I think it was September, October. It wasn't even the end of the year. It's inevitable. Well, this morning they came out and said, well, all the modeling now says we might get up to 60,000. And I'm going to make a prediction and a bet. I'll bet you we don't even get to 20,000 by the end of this year. And by then, the season from one season to the next is already passed. By the end of this year, we're going into next season's cold and flu season. Because for cold and flu season, for people that really don't know the actual months, it's November, December, January, February, and the first 2 weeks of March. So you have about a 4.5-month period of cold and flu season in this country. And that's the majority, over 93-94% of all the statistics that are gathered are within those 4.5 months period of time. That is our cold and flu season. And it's no secret why those months exist as our cold and flu. And it's not because it's cold outside for half of the country either. It's because our holiday season starts off compromising your immune system with all of that sugar from Halloween. Then you got all those big, huge pies and turkeys from Thanksgiving, and it carries right over on into Christmas. And you got all the corporate parties, all the jobs that celebrate with the employees and this and that. And then you get after even the holidays in January, New Year's Eve and stuff. Well, what goes on? Now we're into football season. So we got all the weekends. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all of the football games, the college games, the this, the that, the big parties. So it just keeps this glutton of this meat flesh diet just keeps going on and on and on. It doesn't really let up until after the first part of February. And then so there you have that little lingering leftover for that month of March. And that is the cold and flu season. But I tell you, I traveled around the world. I've been to countries like up in Alaska, up in the Eskimos and stuff, over to Iceland, Greenland, been way, way up north, Norway, Finland, all these really, really cold climate. But the one thing I learned a long, long time ago, well, you look at the Eskimo communities up in Alaska. They don't have cancers. They don't have coronary disease. And yet they live over 55% of their daily diet for an entire year is based upon seal meat and blubber fat. That's the way they exist. Fat. And it's meat. It's the muscle tissue. And yet they don't have heart disease. They don't have cancers. Nowhere near the statistics like down here, down under, in the main 48, they call us. So why is that? Because I was always told if you have a high-fat diet, you have a tremendous risk of cancer. You have a high-fat diet, you're going to get fat and you're going to have high blood pressure. You're going to have all these diseases and problems associated with a high-fat diet. Not true. We have all the diseases and illnesses in this country, most of them because of our cold and flu season, because of the way we consume our food. Our foods aren't pre-digested. I've literally sit there and watched, and I've smelled from miles away, literally miles, not hundreds of yards, and does it stink? They actually catch all of those blubber and stuff, and they hang them on hooks above these big, huge copper pans, and they're like little smokehouses. And they hang them about 4 feet up, and they put a fire underneath of this copper pan, the big, big bowl. And it's called high meat. And it stinks to high heavens. And what it really does, you have the heat that's actually accelerating the enzyme called cathepsin, and that's literally breaking down and dissolving all of this meat flesh right off of the bone as it hangs. And it drips into this big, big pot, and it's a real thick, soupy kind of a soup. It's very, very thick, though. And it bubbles, just like boiling lard or fat or anything else. And they literally eat that. It's called high meat. And that's what they give the mushing dogs when those dogs do the dog sled race with their dinner rods. And they'll actually gain more weight at the end of that 500 or 700 mile trek, whatever it is. I know it's a lot of hundreds of miles. I do know that. I think it's 1,000 miles. I'm not sure, but I think it is. But anyways, those dogs that pull those sleds, they actually are heavier and actually gain weight at the end of that run, not weakened and all deteriorated because of their muscles. No, high meat, that's what they give them. They just give them a big scoop of high meat, and it's frozen, and they just eat that stuff. But it's all pre-digested. It's all pre-digested, the fat, the protein, everything. And they don't get all of these diseases and illnesses like we have here in America. And just so everybody knows, America is the sickest country in the entire planet Earth. There is no country that has a civilization and citizens with higher disease and illness per capita other than the United States. We're dead last in the entire world, even compared to Ethiopia or any other third world country you want to compare us to. And yet we spend more than 2.5 times dollars on our healthcare system of treatment and prevention than any other country in the entire world. Japan is next after us. But we spend 2.5 times more dollars on a healthcare system, and yet we have the worst statistics globally in the entire world. So when I hear these people on national television talk about how great our healthcare system is, it's a piece of crap. It's the worst piece of crap that exists on this planet, period. And then I see all this nonsense about, well, you know, we've got to drag this whole corona thing out for months and months till we get a vaccine. No, you don't. You could cure everybody literally tomorrow within 48 hours. You've got 7 to 10 times more people that have actually survived from this virus. Like I said, over 87% now. So that's an 8-to-1 ratio. You get even 1/3 of those people donating blood, and you could alleviate everything else that exists right now, and you could actually prevent everything that's coming. All you have to do is test to see if they actually have the virus. Give them an antibody therapy right away. Boom, there you go. So I've said my piece for tonight. I don't want to get too riled, too rattled. This does really upset me, though, and I keep watching these so-called experts and stuff, and I just don't get it. I really don't get it. And I always tell people I don't have a PhD, not because I'm smart enough not to get one, I just don't want to be regulated by the licensing that comes along with that. And I honestly feel like half the time I'm smarter than anybody I've ever watched on national television. So I just don't want any of you guys to worry about this stuff. It's really not justified. What's going on in our society, in our grocery stores, our rest, that's not justified. and yet they want to make this the model going forward to where nobody touches each other. You have to get tested before you can go out into public. You have to get vaccinated because that's the only effective means there is. No, it's not. No, it's not. Antibiotic therapy is by far the most effective therapy that there is. And then you also have this other therapy called immunotherapy. What happened to immunotherapy? I have not heard one single person talk about immunotherapy during this whole thing since it started. Not one single person. And before all of this came out, if you wanted to market a product, oh, it's immunotherapy, 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 immunotherapy. That's all everybody said. Everything's about immunotherapy. Well, where's immunotherapy now? That's what antibody therapy is. It's immunotherapy because it was derived from the human immune system. But nobody's talking about that now. So I'm just going to end it with that. So, Dover, we want to open it up for questions, comments?
Absolutely. Great call, Ron. Very informative, and you were a lot tamer than I thought you would tonight. So this is awesome. All right.
Yeah,
so does anyone have a question or a comment?
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. If you have a question for Ron or a comment, please, if you are muted, out, hit *6 on your keypad. That will unmute your phone, and then you can come on out and ask a question. And if for some reason, just so everyone knows, there are from time to time when there's background noise, the system does mute you out. So if that was you, then come on out and ask your question. *6 on your keypad.
We've got to have somebody have some questions or even a comment tonight.
Don't be
Hi,
shy.
Ron. Hi, Ron.
Yes.
I've got a question. You know when you talk about genetics, like you're 95% of 75% of one parent, 25% of the other, and 5% of the grandparents. And you said that it's the one you look like more. But what if you sort of look like one of your parents, and the other one from a facial, and but what if the other parent body wise, body type is your like that person? How do you determine what genetics you're likely to get from either parent?
Well, it's not more likely. You definitely are very, very dominant, one parent or the other. And you just look at what goes on in your childhood, in your life. You know, you're constipated, you're sickly, you've got digestive issues. There's a lot of different things that you can link to the dominant parent. And it's, like I said, it's more who do you resemble. Just physical features is just one aspect of it. Who you look like physically, hair-wise, facially, that's a hindrance or a hint towards your leaning. But when you start developing the same kind of constipation problems, same kind of digestive issues, now you're talking about the internal metabolic functioning and organ processes. That's going to be your genetic link. So when I ask people like, okay, you've got cancer, so which side of the family had cancer, your mom or your dad? Well, it was my mom's side. Okay, so you take most after your mom. That's why you got cancer. Because genetics are always passed down. They can't change genetics. We are who we are, and we only came from a set of two parents. So that's who we are. And like I said, there's only about 3 to 5% influence of grandma, grandpa, Uncle Henry, and Aunt Mary. It's your mom and your dad. It's about 95% of who we all are. And we're about 70 to 75% of one parent. We're only about 20 to 25% at most of the other parent. So there's very dominant genetics as you're made as a human being and passed down. So just physical feature and looks, and I wouldn't go by hair and eye color, but definitely the way you're built, the size and height you are, kind of who do you resemble most. That's a pretty good indicator. But then you start asking yourself the hard questions. Okay, so what are your internal problems? What are your diseases? Are you sickly a lot? I mean, do you catch the cold or flu 2-3 times a year? And which one of your parents catches the cold or flu 2-3 times a year? So it's a combination of several things, but that's I don't want anybody to think that you're going to know who, where your genetic link to your parent is just by your physical features, because that's actually not it. You just look at the way that you function, the way your body is, the state of health that you have. Like one parent will sit there and be able to digest dairy with no problem, and all of a sudden the other one has reactions, gets sick and constipated from it, and you do the same thing. Well, that's your genetic link right there. But there's three or four or five things you can look at. It's not just one single thing. But you'll be able to definitely identify the dominant parent sooner or later, and it won't take you much past 15, 20 years old to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just a matter of you having a conversation or either really knowing your parents very well as to which one that you relate to most.
Yep. Okay, great.
Okay, yep. Anybody else have any questions? Comments? Anybody?
Ron Clark from Indiana.
Yeah.
Ron, I've got about 5 or 6 or 7 cases of Telazines. I think I'll sell them, you know, if you see my wanting any. So, you know, and we'll figure out the price later. Whatever they used to wholesale them for, so I'll sell them for. But
okay,
I just thought I'd throw that out at you or anybody else. So.
Okay, all right. Well, somebody called me up here just about 2-3 weeks ago and was wondering about some, and I said they're all out. So, nice to know.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of them.
Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have any questions, comments for the call? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Well, Dover, do you have anything you'd want to end the call with tonight? That's a pretty good call.
No, it was a great call and very enlightening as always. And, yeah, there's more to the story as we know, but it's just great to know that you know why they are new hopefully not so normals that we're all dealing with. We can know and rest in, you know, in very good peace that what we have with the product here is amazing in terms of the SteroMax and all the products, but specifically for the immune support. It's just like I said, you know, weeks ago. It's just comforting to know that we have something that is tried and tested. And then it's just superior, in my opinion, to anything out there in the marketplace in the nutrition world. So thank you for all that you do. Great call.
Yeah, and just want to remember there's a leadership call that starts top of the hour at 8 o'clock after this for the same phone number. So have a great night, everybody. I appreciate you coming on. And next week we'll definitely try to get out of the coronavirus thing. And then what were we actually going to talk about? Oh, that was for the leadership call. So I'll just end it with that. So have a great night, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.